love them.
So last week I was a little bit scared that was the new format for Sunday mornings, because when I talk, I move, and I was picturing myself going around the cross and around and just eventually getting dizzy enough to fall over. But just the slides. So I've had a strange few weeks. I work with adolescents mostly, although in Prince George you do a bit of everything. And on average, we see a fair bit of suicide, and occasionally we see homicide, or people that want to kill other people. And usually it's going to be a male. Men are generally more aggressive, so I'll see teenagers with aggressive intent. In the last 2 weeks, I've had five girls with distinct plans to kill people and very gory imaginations on what the process would look like and the desire to end certain people's lives. The perplexing thing for me is very much like this picture. When I speak and use certain words to try and understand them or direct them, it's like different languages now. A lot of the words like consequences or guilt or shame don't seem to have the same meanings that they used to. So what I love about this picture is mostly the faces of the other guys. This is a Norman Rockwell, and they're looking at these two people praying with a very perplexed mind. And we're almost there now in the world where the things we believe and the things we're going to talk about in Proverbs are antiquated. They look silly. They're funny. They're interesting, like you would look at something in a museum. We're becoming museum pieces. So I get to start with Proverbs 2, and what I want to do is I want to look at some of the words as they kick out and try and understand the actual word. Then I'm going to try and understand a few of the characters, because I think really God is a storyteller, and stories have characters. And in Proverbs, we very much have personifications, different characters at play. Characters that we sort of enact somewhat. And then I want to talk about the fear of the Lord and the land. I'll talk about the Lord, but I'll talk about the land. So Proverbs 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding, furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the paths of justice and protect the way of his loyal followers. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity, every good path. So a lot of words. We kick them around. We use them. They overlap. I think there's nuances. When you read Proverbs, you tend to want to look at each word as if it's just a synonym of other words. So when they use the word knowledge, wisdom, understanding, do they really mean the same thing, or is there a different class, a different type of knowledge, wisdom, understanding. What do these things mean when it comes to human beings? So knowledge for me, I'll tell you a little secret. The more, everyone preaches a little bit differently. For me, the more stuff I put on the slide, the more scared I am. So I'm going to try and have a little bit of faith and talk without looking at my slides too much. So knowledge for me is, I think we're made with a mind. So there's an intellectual portion to us. I ascribe very much to a Trinitarian view of mankind. So I have a mind in which I make a map of the world. I grasp the world and I create a picture. So knowledge and knowing, mostly I feel Proverbs is talking about my mind. My understanding intellectually of a world. Can I grasp reality? Can I grasp truth? Is the map that I'm making in my mind consistent with the reality as it is? And the more consistent it is, the better my knowledge. I think knowledge in Proverbs, it's hinting at a number of ways of getting this. So we listen. We live in a world where we create our own knowledge. And if we create our own knowledge, what are we trying to listen to? In God's creation of the world, we can listen and find the truth. So part of knowing is just stopping and thinking and paying attention to what's out there. There's also, though, a part that needs to explore. We need to be more than listeners. We need to be diggers at it. We need to claw at it. Because the truth is sort of, in an odd way, hidden at times. And the deeper truths in a complex world, things get caked over and you don't really know the value of things. You have to explore and dig down to get at the real truths. And at times, we have to seek it like silver. We have to search for it. And I think that's more the revelation aspect of things, where there is a knowledge that comes from God that you can't get here. There's a truth in this reality, but then there's a knowing of God, a truth that goes way beyond, that encompasses a whole universe. So we seek what is here for knowledge, and we explore, but we also need revelation. And these things in Proverbs are about the mind. This is a fascinating word, often used in Proverbs in the feminine form. So understanding, I don't think that has as much to do with the mind. I think understanding is a, you know, when I'm going to use the term masculine and feminine, I'm not meaning that to be lesser or better or even male and female necessarily. But a feminine knowing, it's a knowing of the heart. So in when I'm trying to get a picture of understanding, the best picture, I think, is the mother holding the child who's in pain and grieving. That's what he means by understanding. When you understand the world, so not just knowing the world, but understanding it, and that is an emotional knowledge and a connection. It has something to do with the intellect, but only as a different thing. So I understand with my heart, I feel the world. And there's a right emotionality that we bring to the world to feel it. And that has its own kind of map and its own picture of reality. And in many ways, a more important and real one. So Proverbs talks about directing your heart. moving your heart to something. And what that means, I think, is when you're with people, when you're with yourself and God, you feel the situation. You let the situation envelop you with emotion. And when you lift your voice, you cry from your heart with emotion, and you reach out to God for that connection. And when you connect with God and His Spirit, there is an understanding, a different type of knowing than intellect, but a feeling and knowing of knowledge. And then when we have His Spirit within us, then the hidden treasures, the larger scope of what it is to be a human, a spiritual being in God's universe, starts to come to light. So these things are not, in my mind, just the same word said in a different way. These are different parts of our being. So there's a mind to a human, and there's an understanding, a heart, an emotionality to a human being. So then when we come to wisdom, well, every time in Proverbs, there's four Hebrew synonyms. I'm not going to even try what they are. But the essence of all of them, if you look at it, they're all action words. They're all talking about a path, a way. Paths generally don't mean, they're not decorative. They're meant to follow. They're meant to go down. So when we come to the word wisdom in Proverbs, think, what are you doing? These are words of action. A wise man is not the guy at the university who's sitting reading books going, oh, yes, now I understand. That's not a wise man. The wise man is the one that takes even a shred of knowledge, even a tiny bit, and applies it and lives it. That is wisdom. So we have a mind. I feel like I want to go further here, but I'm trapped. We have a mind, we have a heart, and we have action. And these things are personifications. They're not just the same thing said in a different way. They're parts of our being. And when we understand them as parts of our being, as things that need to develop, we can understand some of the next words that they're using. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity. But again, there's that wonderful word, understand. Then you will understand. I don't think he means, that now you can write an essay on it. I have the knowledge. I can give you a definition. No, I think what he says is, then you can understand. Then you can feel righteousness. Then you can feel what it is to be right. And then you can feel what is justice. And you can feel integrity. So righteousness is the right understanding of things and then acting them out to be on the right path, in the right way, in harmony with your destiny, which is to be righteous. To be on the right path is your destiny. God made you for the right path. He didn't make you for the wrong path. Here, Johannes, I have made you as an example to men. Wrong. Not his design. So when you're in the righteousness, there's a feeling to the righteousness. It's what Jesus said, blessed is the man, in harmony with his his created reality is the man. Justice. Justice has very little to do with the law. In fact, if you just meet the law, I still think you could be a very unjust man. Justice is something beyond that. We owe each other a debt. By being human, we owe each other something. And these debts we owe, it is just that we give them. And when we give to the people around us, we don't always think. I find that, you know, the weirdest thing is again and again, your justice begins in how you treat your spouse or your brother or the people right next to you. We sometimes take them so for granted, that we think that what God wants from us doesn't apply in that situation. They'll just forgive me. No. That's the biggest test of your character. How you treat the people closest to you. So justice has a feeling to it as well. I know when I am right with people. You know this. When you're wrong with somebody, it niggles at your soul. It niggles and niggles and niggles. I'm not sure niggles is a word, but it sounds pretty cool. Niggles, niggles, niggles. That's the one. Niggles. It comes at you and it claws and it claws. And you just never feel comfortable. The strangest thing as you get older is you spend more and more time in your house. You don't want to go out. Part of that is you're niggled to death. You don't want to see so-and-so and so-and-so. So do what is just. Pay your debts. And there's an understanding, a feeling that comes with that. And then you will understand integrity. So I have a mind, I have a map. I have a will, I make decisions, I act, and I feel. But how often are those things at war within me? So I don't do what I know I should do, or my desires take over, or that to-do list, what God is calling to me to get done, I don't get done. And so I have a broken sense of self within me. I am at war within me. I become a hypocrite. My mind and my will and my heart are not connected. I often get thrown out that word, Christians are such hypocrites. And they are. But you can feel better. The world out there are much bigger hypocrites. Every human being is a hypocrite. We don't do this well. We don't integrate ourselves. See, and these things are things in Proverbs that it says, you know, in order to live a life well, all parts of you have to be in agreement. They all have to be working together. My mind and my heart, my will. I've only felt God once in my life. I've probably told this story before, but I've only felt God speak to me once. And that was a threat. And that was, I have always loved reading and reading and reading and intellectualizing and studying things. And when I graduated from medical school, I started general practice here, and I would attend the fellowship families, and I'd sit there and I'd listen to sermons and I'd listen to, you know, the talks and go, actually, according to so-and-so, you're quite wrong, I think. And I loved the intellect. And at one point, God said, well, why don't you come and teach, oh, smarty pants that you are? And it was Brian Ray that phoned me and said, and I remember God saying, you better start doing something, or I'm letting you go. I mean, I wouldn't take that as theology. But there was a sense of that, you know, enough with your smartness, your intellect. Let's see what you can do. Let's do something. If you don't do, your intellect will turn on you, let me tell you. Your mind will wrap itself around some silliness and you're gone. You must do. Your mind must do. Your heart. A heart without a mind. Ho, 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 ho. You will follow every strange little path. You better have intellect. You better think. When your feelings are pulling you, you better have somebody around that has an intellect to guide you, or you better develop your own intellect. So all of these parts do not work well on their own. And in Proverbs, it highlights that. Discretion. Know your feelings and what feelings are right. Know the lay of the land and the map. Don't just go out there and do things. So the reward of all of these things is a life well lived without wandering into the fallen zones and the dangers. I think there are more characters than this, but the four main characters I'm going to highlight. So again, I don't think you can just understand the words. The words give you something, but God's created flesh and blood and living and a world. And it is when we move into these worlds, into the world, that we truly understand things. So he gives us personifications. So when we come to Proverbs, there's a lot of discussion of father to son. Now, there's a couple ways to look at it. One particular way is that God is talking to man. God is the father. I don't know if I like that. I'm not completely against it, but I think God plays a different character in Proverbs, something much beyond that. So I think that limits the God character too much to say it's the Father talking to the Son. I think the Father-Son imagery is the imagery of the knowledge in the world, the culture, the things that we passed down that were good, the word of mouth. The Father, the older, the one that has gone before, talking to the newer. We live in a world where the young, and I'm not razzing on the young here. Well, kind of. We live in a world where the young have almost more voice than the old. I mean, I can sit down and talk to a 15-year-old after 35 years of a sacred marriage. Well, I'm not sure my wife would call it sacred at every minute, but we've been married. I can talk to a young guy who's been dating. He's had about 6 or 7 young women, and there's current love interest of 3 months. He knows a lot about love, and he's not listening to me at all. Not a shred, you know, because he knows it. Father to son, there is a knowledge that is in the world. There's a knowledge programmed into you. You know, Romans talks about that. No, nobody gets away with this. There is no excuse of ignorance. Pay attention. Listen. Listen to your heart. Listen to your mind. The truth is programmed into you. You should be sensing danger, danger. I'm off the path. Father to son is the righteous knowledge, the right way in this world. The other character is the fool. So the fool has two kind of aspects to them. They both lead to the same thing. So the one is the idiot. And the idiot just says, there is no truth. There is nothing to know. Woohoo! Nothing to know. I can just click this machine off, and I'll just feel it out. See what's fun. Ooh, this is interesting. So that's the idiot. There is no truth. The other one is kind of the same at the end. It's the fathead, and that's probably the best translation of it. The fathead has his reality, and that's his reality. And you can have your reality, and that's fine. But fathead has his reality as the reality. So you can't move fathead off his belief of the world. So it's not kind of, well, this is what I think, but I'm open to other ideas. Where can I go? No, each of us has our knowledge. And fathead is the dominant philosophy of the universities, I think. This is what I know. I've got the research. And that's that. Both deny truth. Or at least, you know, if there is no truth, why look for it? Just create your own, and if it's working. Both are anti-wisdom, anti-knowledge. One of their chief goals in life, one of the chief values, and you can see it in our culture now, is freedom. Freedom. I am free. So when we say, come enslave yourself to Christ, enslave yourself to the righteous way, to these rules, what a wonderful thing to the modern mind. Come, chain yourself up. The wisdom, coming back to this again, it's personified in a female character. You know, where the Bible, you know, is sometimes accused of being anti-feminine, if you really read it carefully, it is not. So wisdom, this understanding, this holding in the heart of reality, this stress of being, of nurturing and caring, of true love, that is the image of feminine, and it is ripe throughout Proverbs. To feel things, to feel harmony, to detect when there's strife between people. Like there's women in this body, there are men in this body that can sense it. The understanding, the living of life, the feminine wisdom as she moves through the place, through the world, bringing peace, bringing the sense of harmony. This connectedness. I mean, is the goal love? Love is the ultimate, but harmony. So if you focus too much on the other aspect of the feminine, you do sort of see Proverbs as anti-woman. But you've got to see the character wisdom, the understanding, as the more powerful character. And in that sense, Proverbs is a very feminine kind of knowing. The darkness, so opposed to the, as with the mind and the fool, wise understanding gets mixed in with this concept of the seductress. And the seductress really is when you make pleasure your prime focus. Rather, you know, again, when you sense the being nature, intellectual knowledge for itself is rather boring. But when you grasp things and feel them and understand them, that's life. And that aspect of life is good, but it has a feeling. And when you start seeking the feeling more than what the feeling should lead you to, harmony, connection, love, if feeling becomes the focus and pleasure becomes your driver, then you're in the grips of the seductress. Then she's pulling you into the darkness.
pleasure.
Here's the problem for us Christians. One is, I talk too much. I do. The problem is, you're being asked to live right, but in the wrong world. This doesn't work so well here anymore. It's broken. So God is demanding of you to walk the right path, feel the right thing, do the right thing. Do the right thing in a world that is broken. So liars and lies do get you ahead in this world. Pleasure and its pursuits seem to produce a happier life. Why are you struggling so hard? We're going out partying. The wicked succeed. Hey, they're billionaires. Yeehaw! Yeehaw! That's a kind of a baby amen. So that's the problem. If you're looking at results here, we've got a problem. The answer is throughout the Bible, the fear of the Lord. If you don't understand where this is all leading to, it doesn't look very bright what you're doing. Praying, studying, being a good guy, right? What's your reward? Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. What's the best word to use for that? Well, one of the dilemmas is the word reverence would be a fantastic word, or respect. But we have no clue anymore what those mean. Reverence. Wow, this is good margarine. No, I think the best way in today's world to think of fear is to think of it as, I am really afraid. Fear, I am mortified. I am in dread. You know, I know that doesn't give you the nice fuzzy God, but fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Why? Everybody talks about hell, like, there's a place that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to party with my friends. No, you're not. At best, hell is you being nothing. You're gone. Dead. Toast. At its worst, you're in a lake of fire with Satan burning up. Now, I don't know. I would love to do a study on this. I did leading into this, but that would have taken us another hour. And I didn't really understand it yet. But all that stuff about a party in hell, those country songs, that's just trash. None return. So this is talking about the seductress. I like not having it there, because then you get to see my back. I've been working out, so. None return who go to her. None reach the paths of life. What? The paths of life. The paths of life. 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 Thank you very much. Life. This ain't it. There is a life. There is a life. God is giving us a life. Better than this one. There is a life. So when we follow it, we inherit the land, the promise. We get a life. We get to do this again, but properly, in the proper circumstances. But the wicked don't. Follow the path. follow the path. Amen. That means I'm done.